of them perceived God from that point on was a totally changed one. It was different from the way he perceived God initially. Initially, he perceived God through Chachmah, through his reality principle, their perception of God. But after it was a chote, when he thought of God, the effect was a guilt effect, you see. And that's why the Pasuk gives that description. Is a description of a man, how he perceives God, where after he did a sin, which he recognizes, which he realizes was a horrible crime, and then his perception of God was that God is, he could hear the call of Hashem Elokim walking through the garden of Ruach Hayom. He sensed, he felt the presence of God, but in a different way, in a way which was as a chote, you see. And that's why the pasuk gives that description. Because of his chate, he was reduced to a level where his perception of God was a being which he feared, and which made him realize that his life was empty. That's why it says when God said Ayeka, it said as Kol Chashamati Bagan. As Kol Chashamati Bagan, Vayira, Ki Eiro Manochi, Vayichaveh. And Chazal said, wasn't mean Ki Eiro Manochi? Ki Eiro Manochi means, I had mitzvah achas hayolah, Rashi says. There was one mitzvah that he had in his outline manner, and he lost it. You see? And he lost it. He forfeited the mitzvah. So, that's what he explained. So really, the Pasuk actually explains why he had that perception and why it was anthropomorphic. It was anthropomorphic because of his nature, which had changed after the chait. And that's why when he heard the call of Hashem Elokim, so he was afraid. He had a mitzvah. What does it mean he had a mitzvah? It means it was a sense of guilt. But the nakedness, of course, once he had conscience, so then his nakedness became something which was embarrassing to him, you see. But the embarrassment was on two levels. It wasn't simply on the level of the physical nakedness, it was on the level of the fact that he was a chote. He was a sinner, he was a chote. That's why the pasuk describes his perception over there. The only place that you have such a description. Kol ad Hashem Elokim, Mesalach Begon. Kol Choshemati Begon, Va'ira Ki'er Menochi Ve'echaveh. But the point I want to make is that from that time on, man relates to God with that sense. But of course, a person has to realize that that should not be the only way that he relates to God. And it's a very prevalent phenomenon that most people, during their lifetime, I mean, unfortunately, there are many people, most people, I would say, that during their lifetime, that remains the only relationship. I mean, it's simply like like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I mean, it's simply a sense of they relate to God only, and as that's why they don't want to always think about God, because God to them is something which awakens in them a sense of guilt. It's always as Kol Chashamati Bagan Va'ira Ki'era Manochi Ve'Chavei. It's true that man has that sense after the chait. Man always has that sense. But that is not really the objective of the Kol HaTorah Kula. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than Adam Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu was Pe'al Pe'a Dabrabo. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to, in spite of the change that took place after the chait of Adam Rishon, still, you see, man can rise to a different level, and he's able to regain the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was originally intended. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Pe'al Pe'a Dabrabo. It means, Marav Halo B'chidus means that he was able to perceive God through his reality principle, through his Chachma. So even if, after the chait of Adam HaRishon, it's possible for a person, and a person should strive, should strive on his level, every individual should strive on his level to attain a perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is based upon his reality principle, not simply upon guilt. You see, that's the concept of constantly. Molech ol aretz kevodo. It means that a person should have that realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he shouldn't just relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a sense of guilt. Of course, that's something which is necessary for man after the chait. But that shouldn't be the ultimate relationship between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should recognize, it's important for a person to recognize that idea, because many times a person gets stuck in a specific mode of operation, you know what I mean? And can't rise above that level, And sad thing, because that becomes the only relationship that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's not what was intended. That was after the chait, and after Adam was a chote, so it was a specific reaction that he had. You understand? But you should think about such a thing, and you should be aware of it, and you should realize that if that's his only relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's forfeiting the most essential dimension of the relationship between man and God. If he remains with just as Kol HaShemati Bagon, he's not fulfilling his objective. He's not reaching the highest level that's attainable for man. But on the contrary, the person should realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, and everything that his very essence and his very nature stems from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He can't. Sometimes a person's a chote. He senses the Kol HaShem L'Kim. It's a good thing, but that's not the that should not be the essence of the human relationship between man and God. It should be, on the contrary, a person should feel should be miskarev al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and should through knowledge and through chachmas haTorah should feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Navi says b'chol derachav da'ehu, b'chol derachav da'ehu hu yashar achasach. The person should the person should emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and behold the rachecha da'ehu, that a person should feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a positive way. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows every individual, and a person should feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in b'chol derachecha da'ehu. So that state emerged at the time of the creation, and it was emphasized because that's the time that it first actually came into existence. It was a separate dimension. Avas Hashem is on the contrary. Avas Hashem is that's the essence of Kol Tarkulus. Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem is a positive relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Positive relationship. Yeah. Akin of Ataivo Akava Matzinas Adam and Noah. Ataivo Itchilo Kol Apulos VaMasim. This Taiva is the beginning, the initiation of all the actions and performances that a person does. The gam kodemes l'machshava. And it also comes before thought. Ki chomeid l'tavoso l'dovor choshev olav lasos. As a person that has a taiva for something, he says, then he starts thinking about doing it. So the first step is that the person has a desire. He says, in all the taivas there is a great evil. Ein tzorach loma taivas hayetzer al averos. You don't have to mention the taiva We don't have to talk about the taiva for the that the Yetzer Hara has for Averos, for violating the Tayag Mitzvos. He says, Ki afilu taivas mishkav hanoshim harbe b'mosa ro gedola. Val zeh amar Shlomo amalach olav Shlomo olav shalom al titen l'nashim chelech. Alright? He says, because excesses in taiva are harmful. He says, as Shlomo Melech mentions, that if a person is involved excessively in sexual taiva, sexual activity, so this is not good. Al-titim l'nashim chelech. Al-kimokain, similar, tarbos ha-taiva b'maychal l'mishnah. If a person is involved excessively in eating and drinking, b'mosorin, and also mosros, means luxuries, gamzera, this also is bad. He says, and just like the physicians say, kigama macholim kalim v'tovim, that even foods that are good, mazikin la'ochol me'em harbe. I see, they knew that then also, that if a person overeats, even if he eats good food, but if he overeats, it's harmful to the body. Overeating is harmful to the body. Okay. V'zeh shomer b'mesech ha-psochem. That's what the Gemara says in Psochem. Al targil atzmacho lechol avozin. That apparently was a big delicacy in those days. He says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishmei de Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi. Echol botzel. Eat onions. V'shev botzel. And dwell in the shade. It means in the shade of your house. Velo seichol avozin v'sanigolim, and you shouldn't eat the geese and the chickens, except of course on Shabbos. I mean, he says it's nearest after your Shabbos. So he says you shouldn't eat that. Why? V'yehei libcha rodei falecha. So Rashi says the libcha rodei falecha. Misave lecho kol shor, shergelis. It means that the person is constantly involved in eating. He's constantly desires. He's involved constantly in desiring good food. He says, "Pechos mi michlecha o mi mishtecha." He says you should reduce the amount of food that you eat and that you drink. V'tosif al diraskla. V'tosif al diraskla. And spend more money on your home. It's a funny guy. The Gemara says on the contrary. You're better off spending money on your home. It says like this. Yeah. It means v'libcho rodei falecho. That's what the Gemara says. V'libcho rodei falecho. It means misava lecho kol shor shehogelis. It means to say that what Chazal are trying to say is like this. It'll come in a little later. I don't understand that very well. What Chazal is trying to say is that in order for a person to succeed in life, that the person cannot be under the sway of the taivas. Can't be under the constant sway of the taivas. And achilush siya is something which a person is constantly involved with. So most people. That's why food is such an important thing in people's lives. Tremendously important thing. Why? Because it's a constant catering to the instinctual. Now, Chazal say that a person who's constantly preoccupied with the instinctual is not can't be on a very high level. Because it means that the instinctual wheel is constantly running. In order for a person to reach perfection, he has to remove himself from that constancy of the preoccupation with the instinctual, because he has to be involved in chachma, and the chachma demands a cessation of the freedom of the energies. The energies have to be free. If the energies are constantly preoccupied, he really can't get too far. Okay, he could force himself to pull away for a minute. Yeah, the Rambam always talks about it. I think the Rambam, you notice when he criticizes the people who. I think the person was the one that asked him that question, the Chacham Echad, actually Chacham Echad in the beginning, was the person asking the question about Otto Marijan. So if I'm not mistaken, doesn't Rambam say to him, he gives him like, must he have a mitzvah? Yeah, it's possible. Otto Marijan attained his perfection through doing an avera. So he says, now mark our reply, which was as follows. You appear to have studied the matter superficially, and nevertheless you imagine that you can understand the book which has been the guide of past and present generations, when you for a moment withdraw from your lusts and appetites and glance over its contents as if you were reading a historical work or some poetical composition. You see? So the Rambam criticizes him. Because what does the Rambam mean? Why does he say his lust? What the Rambam means is that a person can never really attain a deep understanding of Chochmah if he's constantly preoccupied with the instinctual. There's an ongoing preoccupation with the instinctual, so you can't possibly. Be involved in Chachma. Chachma demands a cessation of the instinctual. And the Rambam says, this person, he was a wise man. As a wise man means he had a good head. He had a good mind. But a good mind is only the beginning of Chachma. It's not going to get a person anywhere if he's incapable of directing large sums of energy into Chachma. And in order to direct large sums of energy into Chachma, a person must remove himself from the constant instinctual preoccupation. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara's advice, gives advice like this. Velos echo botzel onions. Onions means food that's vegetables. Veshev batzel, and live, dwell in the shade of your house, it means. Velos echo lavozin vesana golem v'yehe libcho rode falacho. Libcho rode falacho. Libcho rode falacho means that by catering to the appetitive desires of man, you're constantly involved in the wheel, the instinctual wheel is constantly turning, and you could never involve yourself totally in chachma. So the Gemara says that a person should better post mi nichlecho mi mishlecho v'sosif al dirasva. What does mean sosif al dirasva? Sosif al dirasva doesn't mean, Chazal don't mean to tell you that a person should improve his house, so he has a beautiful home, so anybody walks in says, wow, what a beautiful place he's living in. Talks about it. Doesn't mean that. The Gemara says that Dira Noah is Miyashevah's Daito Shalada. That a nice home makes a person feel relaxed. Dira Noah, Ishanoah, Kalim Noah, Miyashevah's Daito Shalada. It means that it gives a person it sets the stage for a person to be relaxed, to be in a certain state of mind. And you want that state of mind because in order to pursue Chochmah, a person requires a certain state of mind. So that's what Chazal say. Tosif al diroscha means, it doesn't mean that a person should increase the amenities of his house for the purpose of ego. It means, Tosif al diroscha means that he should, his conditions, his external conditions, should be pleasant, because that's something which leads to a state of mind where the person could be involved in the chachma. He should stop spending money on the foods, the delicacies, because what this does is simply keeps the instinctual wheel rolling. And he should stop that, and he should better spend money on the external situations, means his house, because Dira Noah, a nice home, is Miyashevah's Daito Shalom. It sets the state for a person to be in a state of relaxation so he can be involved in thought. That's what Chazal means. Okay, so that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes that Chazal from the Gemara himself. Now he says like this. Yeah, it's also, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's a redirection also. It's a redirection also, and the point is that in that type of a taiva, it's more of a controlled type of a kind of taiva. You understand what I mean? In other words, that type of a taiva is not one which is libo rodeif. The Chazal, when they examined life, they constantly would try to make sure that the energies are flowing in the right direction, because that's the whole lesson of life is that a person will be involved in chokhmah. But it's not just such a simple thing. You have to be careful in where you direct your energies. So that's why, yes. It's an interesting chazal between the philosophers, the true philosophers. The true philosophers had the true ideas that Rabbi mentions, and in many areas, in the major points, the true philosophers, and Plato and Aristotle, had the same ideas as Torah when it came to the basic points, because a person can on his own reach a level where he understands what the writer can do. But Chazal were remarkable when it came to the psychological, how to direct the psychological energy. That's where Chazal were outstanding. Okay? The fact that the Roman orgies show you, the eating orgies show you that the nature of achilas is such that it could draw a person to that degree. I mean, the Romans is an example of, but you don't have to be a Roman to reach a level of taiva. Being a lower madriga, but you still could be involved. Yeah. But Levi's asking a question. Levi's asking a question. He says, why is it? It's a very good question. Since that really isn't the state, being preoccupied with taiva is not really the taiva's achila, is such that it draws a person. So why is it that Shabbos, which is the Yom Kodesh, Kedusha Shabbos, the Dosh Hashem Mechubad, why should that day be the one that we specifically engage in achila shiel asani basanugim by burmis lava dogim? Why should it be that way? That's a good question. It's really Levi's question is, why is it that Shabbos, which is a Yom Kodesh, so it's the highest kedusha. The highest kedusha is kedusha Shabbos. You see, by the aliyahs, Yom Kippur, you only have 6 aliyahs, and Shabbos you have 7. In Toshuv Mishabbos Raglecha Asos Chafatzecha B'Yom Kachi, then it says the Korosa, that's in Toshuv Mishabbos Raglecha Asos Chafatzecha B'Yom Kachi. It means it's referring to two things. In Toshuv Mishabbos Raglecha is referring to what? Tchum. Asos Chafatzecha B'Yom Kachi is a malach. The Korosa L'Shabbos Oneg L'Kdosh Hashem Mechubad. So that's two halachas. The Korosa L'Shabbos Oneg, that's Oneg Shabbos. L'Kdosh Hashem, the Korosa goes on both. The Korosa L'Shabbos Oneg and L'Kdosh Hashem you will call Mechubad. Call means to designate. Designate is Mechubad. Then it says V'Chibadato Me'asos Terachecha. And you should be mechabed Shabbos. That you shouldn't be me'asos terachecha means that you shouldn't act the same way on Shabbos. You shouldn't walk the same way on Shabbos. You shouldn't talk the same way on Shabbos. Everything should be different on Shabbos. Nimtzo chafzecha means from being involved in your desires, business. The daber dava means that the shelo yehi dibra Shabbos. The dibra of Shabbos shouldn't be a dibra shalchol. Then the next pasuk says, Oz tis'ana galar Hashem, v'yekavticha b'masei aretz. Okay? So the next pasuk explains, Oz tis'ana galar Hashem. What does it mean, Oz tis'ana galar Hashem? So the Radak explains. Radak says that why is it that Shabbos, Radak yasiyot kashu, why is it that Shabbos really is a day which is the highest level of Kedusha, and nevertheless, we spend Shabbos and we embellish Shabbos with a chilush siyah. Why should that be? So he says like this. He says that the cross of Shabbos aneg mitzvah saseh la'aneg haguf biyom ha-shabbos b'ma'acholim areivim v'tovim shemitoch sheyishanehu mish'or yomim l'tov, because by the fact that he changes it, he makes it different from other days in that it's more improved. You see? Yizkar Maisa Bereshis. Vishakel Chidsho Me'ayin. He'll remember Maisa Bereshis and that God created the universe from naught. Vishavas Bayom Ashri. And he rested on the seventh day. Umitoch kach yishabeach lakel v'yifaru b'fivu b'uvavo Vitis anag nafsho bo. You see? That's why it says, Oz tis anag al Hashem. So, according to the Radat, that the reason for Onig Shabbos is one thing, not because the enjoyment, not because Shabbos is a day in which a person should be involved inherently in Achilas Siyah, but the reason is that you should, a person by nature, the Teva, a person senses something which is more enjoyable. Which is more enjoyable in terms of his drives, in terms of his instinctual makeup. So what the Pasuk is saying is, that's what the Radak says, that what's the purpose of Onik Shabbos is in order that a person should notice the difference between Shabbos. Because if he has better food on Shabbos, so it means he notices that this day is a special day. His senses bring him to the realization. Just by the fact that he has better food brings him to the realization. But that's only the first step. Once he reaches that realization, then what's the ultimate goal? Reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis, and Oz Tis Anag Al Hashem, which means to say that the Oneg, which began with Achilo Shisiya, eventuates in the true Oneg. And the true Oneg is the Oneg, the Anag Al Hashem, means the appreciation of Chachmas Hashem. Okay? And that's the answer to your question. Radak asks your question. You basically started with it. Okay? He says, the Radak says, Va'tainug al Hashem. What is Tainug al Hashem? Hu Tainug HaNefesh. Tainug HaNefesh. So the Torah, that's the Derech HaTorah in general. The Torah takes a person's instinctual drives, and it doesn't tell the person not to satisfy them. It doesn't stop them. It tells them to satisfy them, but in a way that it leads to the Tainug HaNefesh. In a way that it leads to Tainug HaNefesh. That's Shabbos. It says, Vagoyin Rav Sadia Pirush Tainug HaGuf Koloma Tainug Guf Choyia Al Hashem. He says that Oz Tisanag Al Hashem, he says that the Pasuk of Oz Tisanag Al Hashem means that when a person's involved in Tainug HaGuf, it should be only L'Shem Hashem. He says like this, Lo Kichsilim Shinem Abaham Manoa L'Chsil Tainug Aval HaMaskil, he says, a person that's a real Chacham, Lo yarbe betainug yoser midai. He will never be involved in enjoyments more than he needs. Ki in b'mishpat, b'avur ki hu misasek b'chochma. Because he's constantly involved in chochma, ubo yisaneg yoser, and he'll have a greater enjoyment from the chochma. Elo she tanuge haguf b'mishpat. He says, but the tanuge haguf are only according to a careful judgment. Yetivu sichlo v'yischazku kochosov hashlosha. He says the satisfaction of the bodily needs will strengthen his three powers. V'heim koach hazichronos, v'koach habechino, v'koach hamachshava, which means all intellectual components of the intellect. You see? So. So the Koach HaZikaron means his memory, and Koach HaBechino, which is the differentiation, and the Koach HaMachshava, creativity, differentiation and creativity. That's the that's really what Onik Shabbos is supposed to be. So by the way, in that my Adidas Menuchasef, it's a beautiful, very beautiful Zmiras. It's all halacha. And it says Vahashena Meshubachas. It says why? Kidas Nefesh Meshivas. What does it mean Kidas Nefesh Meshivas? It means that a person should sleep only in order that the Nefesh should be restored. That's all. It means Shabbos is not a day for a person to sleep. Involve sleep and sleep away Shabbos. People think that it's a mitzvah to sleep on Shabbos. That's not the mitzvah to sleep on Shabbos. A famous story of the Gra. He says they told me, Gra didn't sleep much. So they asked him, why didn't he sleep on Shabbos? Because he said, they told me, it's meant to Shabbos. Shina b'Shabbos tainus. So they told the Gra, what do you mean, you don't sleep on Shabbos? Shina b'Shabbos is tainus. So he says, yeah, but tainus means something that's very enjoyable. He says, you'll notice that things that are very tasty, like candies, the person only takes a little bit. It's only a tiny. He says, there are three ways. There are three drachim in taiva, just like in kinnah. Okay? Three states. The first one is like this. The first one is, the first taiva is that a person wants that he should have wealth and chokhmah. That he should have wealth, he should have wealth and chokhmah only for himself, not for anybody else. That's obviously the worst. The second level is where he wants wealth and chokhmah. Notice he mentions chokhmah. And if others have it, it's okay. But the only thing is that he should have... has wealth and chokhmah, he also wants to be like him. And he doesn't care. He says he hopes that they have more. God should give them elef pamim. But he wants it also. He says, V'ein ha'amida zos shleim olatov, b'savso mitzad ki achrei heim chachom unavon v'ashirim, ki ataiva ruya lataivas Lahatayvos b'chokma mitzad ki hi ha'ikar v'asharish lavodas ha'boris baruch. Vasas ba'osher ayosher b'ene Hashem. Lomay davrach. Okay. So he says this also is not good, because he says a person shouldn't want. What's wrong with this last one? Last one seems okay. I mean, he wants the other one should have also. He should. And it's speaking about chokma. Osher v'chokma. It's an interesting thing. I don't know what I don't understand about the Rabbeinu Yonah is. What's that have to do with taiva? Why does it mention chokhmah there? Why does it mention chokhmah? He should have osher and chokhmah. And he's happy that they have osher and chokhmah, but he wants to be like them. He wants to be like them. So he says, this really isn't the true level of perfection. Even though these people are good people, they have osher and they have chokhmah, and they use their wealth properly, and they have knowledge. Still, he says, this is not really the highest level. Why? Because a person...
What?
Because he wants it, because they have the wealth and the wisdom. Ki ataiva ruuya lisavos b'chokma mitzad ki hi ikir v'shorish lavodas haboris bach v'lasas b'osh yeshu b'nei Hashem lom ne'davrach. He says, because a person shouldn't desire it because other people have it. He should desire the chokma, because that really is the good. And the wealth, because he should be able to do what's necessary for him to do in this world. Okay? Hashem negdecho kol taivasi. Ratzi lomar ki kol taivaso mitzad shamayim v'lo mikinas adam. He says, because a person should want the good only because that's what David HaMelech said. That his taiva, his desire was for the good. Had a taiva for the good. And a person shouldn't want it because of Kinas Adam. What I don't understand about Ben Yonah, which is an obvious question, is that now he's leaving Taiva and he's going back into Kinah, because that's basically Kinah. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, he said like this, V'chein motzino b'Rabbeinu HaKadosh Olav HaShalom, Shebashas Petiroso, when he passed away, when Rabbi Nasi passed away, Zokaf Etzba'osav, he held up his fingers and he said, he says, I didn't even have this much enjoyment out of this world. That's what Rabbi Nasi said. Vafapi shamar lover basena shaya osher gudl, shino se machtechos shalo ka osher shavar malka, that the Rabbeinu HaKadosh was extremely wealthy and he was capable of all kinds of pleasures and enjoyments, but nevertheless, Vafapi kein lo nena, ki im l'shem shamayim. So he only enjoyed that which was necessary for the purpose of perfection. Shem Shemayim. Because he had no desire for the enjoyments of the world. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Okay, now he's going back to the idea of Taiva. Alright, fine.
Yep.
The third one is Kavod. Kavod. Now he says, what is the desire for Kavod? He says, Kavod HaRahu. The bad Kavod is HaMeschabed Al Bnei Adam LaHatil E Maso Aleihem. The nosin chasiso be'eretz chayim. Okay, that chasiso comes from this week's parsha. Marachem v'chitchem yeah. means to break down, destruction. Okay, the nosin chasiso be'eretz chayim. Umas charo sheyorek la'omke sheol began. All right, ve'ein l'mapalosa tkuma. So a person like that goes down into the depths of Gehenna. And his downfall, he can't rise from his downfall. The Dore Doros. Umitnei ze dimo yecheskel anovim apolos malchei of the kachovim begehenim. Menosen chatiso be'eretz chayim. Lo ma she'en lem tekuma. There's no way a person that's involved in that kind of a desire and that kind of activity, he's totally doomed. All right? So what's the first cover? The first cover, what is he describing here in the first cover? What's he describing? What's it? Power. Exactly, power. First one is power. The first thing he describes is power. Power means that a person wants to instill fear in other human beings. That's the first cover. No, he wants to instill fear in them. He wants power. Power means that a person inspires awe in other human beings. That desire to have power, he says, that is the worst. And a person who's involved in that is completely involved in the most destructive, self-destructive activity. Okay? Then he says, V'yesh kavod sheni, but there's another kind of kavod. Harotze ki yechabdu b'nei adam. A person that wants other people to respect him. Because he thinks he's deserving of that covet. Ve'enenu. Not true? Gamkein, he says, Rabbeinu says, Gamkein ki yiye talmud chacham or baal mitzvos. Even if he's a talmud chacham and baal mitzvos. U'ritzono she'yichabdu al zeh, and he wants that people should respect him for that. You see? It's not impossible. Not impossible. Chote benafsha. Chote benafsha. He's a sinner. Achim kavanasa l'shem shamayim. However, if his kavana is only l'shem shamayim, v'im l'kavad ha-Torah hu osa levad, if he's only doing it for kavad ha-Torah, v'lo yikachu mitnei atzmo, and he doesn't take it because of himself, v'lo yehenebo, that's the barometer. Because that's the barometer. So everybody says, cover the Torah, cover the Torah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm concerned about, cover the Torah. So cover the Torah is a very good, can be sometimes a very good excuse. But he says like this, but he gives you the criterion. The criterion is v'lo yehena bo, that he doesn't enjoy it. He has no sense of satisfaction out of it. Then you know that it's the l'shem shemayim. Ki im kidei l'skabed haTorah al yedei zeh k'moshe kasavnu. Okay. Ach kol advar macherem b'kavod ramod. But any other purposes are bad. V'kamo azira haTorah v'osra moso. Shegam ha-melech Yisrael. Even the king of Israel. She'omra olav som tosim olecha melech. She'tehei e moso olecha. That the whole essence of a melech is that his awe, his fear should be upon the people, and that's why Melech Shemachal Kvodo Ein Kvodo Machal. A Melech can't be Machal. A Rebbe can be Machal himself, but a Melech can't be Machal himself. Why? Because that's the essence. The Rav mentioned, because that's the essence of Malchus. If there's no cover, there's no Malchus. Malchus, by definition, means that he has to inspire awe in the people. And the moment he ceases to inspire awe in the people, there's no melech anymore. There's no malchus. That's why a melech cannot be malchus on his cover. It's impossible. But he says, "V'hu roi l'kavod yosem mikol abriyos asher tachas hashamayim." And in terms of stature, in terms of social organization, the melech is the one that's most befitting of kavod, because that's a part of his essential position. V'afal pikein is yirasa levilti rum levavu me'achav. Koshkein had yotim shein lohem lachbo tzakovet klal. What is he saying? I mean, it's a little bit difficult to understand. The reason why the melech has to be noheg bedavka. What does the Gemara say? Melech is korea in every bracha tchila v'sof. Every Shmon Esrei is korea in the beginning for every bracha tchila v'sof. Why? Because on the contrary, since he's always receiving so much kavod, so there's a danger that he will become hori. But it doesn't mean that the melech is entitled to kavod any more than anybody else. So why does he say that if a melech is levilti rum levavu me'achav, certainly an ordinary individual has no right to desire kavod at all. You see, the reason, the fact that you give kavod to the melech, isn't just, because you could say, why do you give kavod to the melech? It's necessary that the melech has kavod, otherwise it can't function. But apparently malchus is a real institution. Malchus is a real institution. And in the societal situation, the melech is deserving of kavod. And this is malchus, it's not just an artificial thing that we give kavod to the melech. Give cover to the melech. Why do you give cover to the melech? Artificial thing. We have to be afraid of the melech. Say, give him cover. That would be absurd, because then it would come out that you're giving him cover for no reason at all. You understand? It would be simply an artificial type of activity which has no reality. Yeah, this is no such thing as having an institution without reality. So, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Kesemalchus. Right, Kesem Malchus. So you see, Malchus is a reality. It's not that they gave kavod to David HaMelech, because we have to give kavod to the king, otherwise, it's not expedient, a matter of expediency. If it was merely a matter of expediency, then the whole idea of kavod would be fake, wouldn't be true. There's no such thing, Yadis. If you give kavod to the Melech, it means that he must deserve kavod. It means he must deserve kavod. Which means to say that malchus is an institution which demands that a certain individual who is the melech, he is in a certain relative position vis-a-vis other people, that there's a reality of, insofar as you're giving him kavod, he's the melech. He deserves the kavod. He deserves kavod. He deserves kavod because it's an institution, it's a realistic institution, and he is the melech, and the melech is deserving of kavod. He's different than everybody else. He's not the same as every other person. And the kavod that you give him is proper. In the societal framework, this kavod is true, deserving, and realistic. But Yadis demands something else. Yadis demands that a person not make the societal framework the essence of his being. You see. So, because the essence of his being is not the societal framework, but it's the framework of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the framework of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no such thing as kavod. That's why the pasuk says, "Levilti rum levavo me'echav levilti sor sor a mitzvah yomun small." What it means to say is like this, that the melech, insofar as there is a societal framework, and in the societal framework the melech is the most important person, and the melech deserves more kavod. He's not like a regular individual. He actually deserves kavod. He has a certain position, but this position is a relative position, relative to other people. It's realistic, but it's a relative position. But Yadis demands that a person live not in the world of the relative, but in the world of the absolute. In the world of the absolute, it means he's lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem, the concept of kavod adam is nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. necessary. So while the halacha recognizes, the institution of malchus, and insofar as human beings are concerned, there is a relative position of kavod that the melech enjoys, the melech has, but this is a relative position, and a person is not permitted to essentially live in the world of the relative. Essentially, he has to live in the world of the melech malchei hamlochim, and the world of the melech malchei hamlochim, the kavod, the idea of kavod for a melech, is absolutely nonsensical. That's why the pasuk says, "Levilti rum levavo me'echav, levilti sam and a mitzvah yom nesmol." Because if he will be, the danger is that he'll be overcome by the relative. If he doesn't see it in the proper perspective that it's a relative position, then he'll be overcome, and he'll forget the world of reality. If he'll forget he's lifnei melech malchei hamlochim. That's what the pasuk says. So that's what the Rabbanion is saying. That you see by a melech who's entitled to covet, and there's a reality of covet, because malchus is a realistic institution. Amor b'melech is chayav misa. Why was Uri Achiti chayav misa? Because David HaMelech told him, he said, go back home to your wife. And he said to David HaMelech, how could I go, how could I do such a thing? How could I go to my wife when everybody else is in the battle in the field? I mean, it doesn't sound like he said such a terrible thing. The Gemara says Amor b'melechus. Why was Amor b'melechus? Because there was a lack of sensitivity. He was telling David that you aren't as sensitive as I am insofar as the army is concerned. It was a slight, he slighted David HaMelech by simply saying that you're not really thinking properly when you say that when you're giving me this this order. So just even by way of implication, it wasn't an open insult, an open abuse, but even by way of implication, it was chayav misa. You see, malchus is a realistic halachic institution, but nevertheless, as real as it is, in the face of the ultimate reality, in face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's nonsensical. That's what Rabbi Yona says. So that's why a regular person who is not entitled to any covenant realistically, there's no institution that justifies it in any sense whatsoever. Certainly, he shouldn't be a person. He shouldn't run after covenant. And there is a concept of moral nothing. So even though Paro was a Russia, but still he had to be noe kovod with Paro because he represents Malchus. He represents Malchus. And there's a concept of Malchus. Malchus is an interesting concept. Malchus. The idea of Malchus represents really a certain sovereignty of the spirit. You see, like it says by Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, there's a medrash says Shlomo HaMelech lost his Malchus. So it says, he says that ani kahela sayisi melech b'Yerushalayim. So Chazal say he lost his malchus. What exactly that means is it's a medrash. I don't think that medrash should be taken literally. It means something very deep. But it says that first sayisi melech b'Yerushalayim. First b'tchila melech hakol olam kulo v'lefsof melech al Yerushalayim, and it says v'lefsof lo melech ela al maklo. He only ruled over his makel, his stick. That was the only thing he had left. So the Darshanim say, and truthfully, they say, what does it mean when it says it was so flow malach al makel? But al maklo malach, he was still a melech. He was still a melech. See, because a melech represents a certain type of personality. A certain type of personality, and it represents the godless ha'adam, the greatness of man, in terms of his independence, and his ability to act as a master in terms of everything that he has in front of him. It's a level of other. It means to say that the person, the melech, represents an individual who is not passive to his surroundings, but an individual who is capable of summoning all his energies and exercising the control that God gave him the ability to have over all situations. It's a mastery, Malchus. And Malchus represents a godless Adam. The greatness of man is exemplified by the concept of Malchus. Malchus is an institution, it's a concept. But it doesn't necessarily have to be through running a government. Is it? It could be a melech al maklo. It could be a melech, a person being a melech on himself. That's the That's really the highest level. But the melech, the other things result from him being from his melech. Shlomo Melech was a melech because he was a melech on himself, and as a natural result, he was a melech hakol olam kulo. But the idea of malchus, the concept of malchus, is still expressed through the institutions of malchus, and that's why even though Paro was a Rasha, but still he exemplified the concept of malchus, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to be Nayakov. Rabbeinu Yonah breaks down, it's interesting, he breaks down Kovod into two areas, two categories. One category is power, and the other one is respect. Respect. It's interesting. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, power is not a different phenomenon. Power is not a different phenomenon. Psychologically, power is really the same thing as Kovod. The only thing is that power is where it reaches a point where the person is, the gavra is different. You see, in kavod, the gavra is the same, but he's looking for something external. He's looking for kavod. He's looking for respect. He's looking for recognition. But the gavra really hasn't changed. In power, the whole gavra has changed. The gavra is completely overcome by his importance. And his importance is not in, he's not a regular individual looking for recognition in order to satisfy a need for self-importance. The self-importance is a foregone conclusion. The foregone conclusion. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah says that a person, who, an individual, is an individual that's involved in power. He says, "Ein tekuma." You see, he says before, he says that umascharo sheyored leimke sheol begehenem. He says, "The ein lohem tekuma, ein tekuma l'mapalasa, ein tekuma l'mapalasa" means that his state of mind is so far gone that it's impossible for him to ever come to any realization. He's completely overcome instinctually. And a power monger is completely overcome instinctually, and there's no hope of ever reaching him. That's what he means. Ein lo tekuma. There's no hope of ever, it's impossible. Impossible to reach a despot. You can't. So there's such an individual as Yared Lomke Gehan. I mean, there's numerous examples from history, of course, but I mean, anyone who has read anything about these such individuals, I mean, Stalin or Napoleon, I mean, it's impossible to reach them. It's impossible. They're beyond, that's what it means, Einlam Tekuma. Einlam Tekuma means they're unreachable. Kovod, a person who's looking for Kovod, is still reachable because the Gavra hasn't been converted into war and whose essence is his self-importance. He's covered, he's looking for cover, so he can be reached, you can talk to him. But a person who's reached the level of power, you can't speak with him. It's hopeless. Okay. The Navi says, Li Yaori Vani Asasini. It means he can't even, Li Yaori Vani Asasini, that it means to say that I made myself. What does it mean, I made myself? It means he cannot recognize the fact that he is a created existence. That's what it means. He can't recognize the fact that he's a creature. And basically you see that all the tefillos on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the tefillos on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if there's one theme I think the tefillos on Rosh Hashanah try to make clear to a person, it is that he is a created existence. Created existence. A created existence is the biggest blow to a person's ego. The fact that he's a created existence, it means that he's simply something that was produced. I mean, the fact that he's nothing more than a created being, it gives a person lowers his self-esteem to the greatest possible degree. The fact that he's a yotzer. It means to say, what does it mean? It means to say that a person will recognize that he's nothing more than a created existence. Created existence can't have the egoistic drive that a power monger has. See? That's why the Navi says by Paro, Liya Oriva Ani Asisini, I created myself. It means to say that he's farthest away from recognizing that he's a created being. That's the power monger. Up, he continues, Motzinas Adam and Olam. So these three things remove a person from the world. So what does it mean? It says shalosh midos halalu b'chlal avon pluri, because these three midos are horrible averis. Okay, so you can learn plain pshat. Matzina sada manola means plain pshat. They're terrible averos, the worst averos, the worst midos, and that's why the matzina sada manola means from olam hazeh, olam haba, everything. Okay, but then he gives another pshat. Davaracha matzina sada manolam. He says, what does it mean? He says hakino. Envy, k'moshen emar, urakav atzamos kino. That, the other pasuk of Mishlei, the other pasuk of Mishlei, it says, urakav atzamos kino. That envy rots the bones of a person. Okay? The pasuk says, chaye v'sorim lev marpe. That what makes the flesh live is if he has a lev marpe. Lev marpe means, Rashi says means overal midosav. It means that he's a person that's mavral midosav. He doesn't care. Somebody's outdoing him. He doesn't care. He's doesn't bother him. Lev marpe, a soft lev. It means it doesn't bother him. The other guy is showing him up. All right, doesn't bother him. Lev marpe, soft. Urekavatzamos, but the urekavatzamos kino. But envy causes the bones to rot. So he says. So Ben Yonah says. That's referring to that pasuk. That's why it says that kina is motzias adam in olam, because it means to say that the nature of kina is such that it simply destroys the person that's the possessor of it, because he can't enjoy life. He can't enjoy life. The envy eats away at his bones. You see. Then he says hataiva. Why is taiva motzias adam in olam? K'mo shenemar, taivas otzel t'miseno. And because Rabbeinu brings down a pasuk. This pasuk, I think, holds the key to the problems that we had before. It's an interesting pasuk. Kaivas otzel t'miseno. The desires of a lazy man will destroy him. Now, what does that mean? Mishle chafalaf chafet. Okay? So what does it mean? The desires of a lazy man will destroy him. So you think to yourself, all right. He says, Taivas otzel k'misenu, the desires of a lazy man will destroy him, will kill him. Kimeinu yodav lasas, because it prevents his hands from working. He can't do anything. Okay? Meinu yodav lasas. This is what he is. He says, Hataivas otzel masavel anuach hamashkovel, he tomas oso. Kimeinu yodav lasas malacha l'spanes. Because it prevents his hands from doing malacha to make a living. Umayim king yochal v'ryam eis barav, so he'll die. Okay, so Rabbeinu Yonah uses this pasuk to show that taiva is motzias adam in olam. But the problem is, it's a problem of Rabbeinu Yonah's problem of the pasuk. That's only one kind of taiva. I mean, first of all, you never think of a bal taiva as a nutzel anyway. You know what I mean? Why? And so person, all right, so that's one taiva I won't choose. It will kill me. You see? Taiva sos l'misenu. But what about all the other taivas? You're trying to demonstrate that taiva is going to destroy the person, but it's only one example. Taivas otzel, a person who has the desire to be lazy. So why is that such a horrible thing? So how could you say hakinava taiva motzias adam in olam if there's only one example of taiva that's going to really destroy him? And that is if the person has a specific taiva to be lazy. Not everybody's lazy. There are plenty of balei taiva that aren't lazy. So why is this the key to why it's motzias adam in olam? You understand the question? Why is this the key? Taiva sotzel. Has to be a taiva sotzel. That's not such a big taiva anyways. I mean, if a person's going to choose taivas, that's not the big one to choose. Plenty of other taivas around. And you don't have to wind up with misa. The price is too high for it to be an otzel. It's true. Doesn't pay. That taiva doesn't pay. And I think that it explains the previous Rabbeinu Yonah that we didn't understand, because Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be veering away from taiva and me going into kina. See, taivas otzel. What does it mean, taivas otzel, to me, Sano? It means, like, what is taiva, basically? We always associate taiva with the physical desires. Physical desires. Okay. Physical desires. But the truth of the matter is that there is an underlying concept of taiva. It's like the Rambam mentions that the Rambam mentions the nefesh ha'adam is not like the nefesh ha'behema. And certainly the taivas adam is not like the taivas of behemah. People make a mistake when they say that this person says, hey, he's a behemah, he's a bal taiva, he's a behemah. It's not like a behemah, but the taivas adam is totally different. Person's, his whole psyche is different. So when there's an aspect of taiva, it's a different thing completely than a taivas behemah. No, there's no shaykhas really with taivas behemah. What it means is like this. Taiva means not simply desire for physical satisfaction. Taiva means when a person wants to stay in a state where simply whatever appeals to him, whatever appeals to his natural makeup, he follows. That's really what a bal taiva is. See, a bal taiva is a person, is an individual who has never really left the state of childhood, so to speak. See, what is a child? A child is bal taiva. Child's bal taiva, because see, the Gemara says that the Yetzirah exists until the person is bar mitzvah. That means until that time he's bal taiva. Why? Because the child's bal taiva, because his, whatever appeals to him naturally, he follows. When does a, when can a person cease to be a bal taiva? When he has chokhmah. But an individual who just follows that which he enjoys, people, that's the most of mankind. It's that which feels good is good. That's the way, that's the way they live. You see? It means to say that they just follow naturally what they desire, what they feel is good, what they feel, what their inclinations turn towards. You understand what I mean? That's really the bal taiva in Adam. The bal taiva in Adam is not a person. A person can't really eat that much, and a person really can't, even the eating. See, he mentions before, he mentions the eating, or taivas amishgal, sexual taiva, but it means, what it means is, it is not the taiva per se of the eating. It's the state. The person wants to be in a state in which simply what he feels is good should be satisfied. That's the bal taiva. And what he feels is good, what feels good to him should be satisfied. And most people in life are, their goal, behind their goal in life, is simply to be able to return to that state. It's a fantasy, it's an illusion that a person has. And a person feels he wants to.